Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you all about something today that we're going to be hearing a lot in the next coming months. The word great. This is not saying anything about the political situation that will be coming with our elections. However, you're going to be seeing a lot of talk about being great in the next coming months. Whether that be with regards to a political election or in other ways around the world. And I want to talk to you today, everyone here and everyone who is worshiping with us online, about what it means to be the greatest, or who is the greatest. This has been a question that has been on the mind of people throughout history. And we often remember those people who are great in history. Even hundreds upon hundreds of years later, people know of Alexander the Great, the one man who conquered the whole entire known world at the time, whose kingdom would stretch far and wide. Yes, eventually he died from a common disease, but he was still known to be great, a great leader, a great general, someone that people could aspire to, who's laid the foundation for an even bigger empire that will come later. We remember the people who were great in our history. And we have that inner drive to be great, to be the best. Even I'm going to say, when I was a kid, one of my favorite shows had even, I want to be the very best like no one ever was. There is this idea that we want to be the very greatest at something we do. Whether that be the greatest student, the greatest piano player, though I didn't pretty much want to put the practice in, so I had no clue how that was going to work out. We want to just be the best. And oftentimes when we think of the word greatest, we equate it with being the best, with being above something. Jesus is talking to his disciples today. This is something that this even you've probably heard before. After Jesus was transfigured, he came down from the mountain. And after this, he gave his second declaration to his disciples. I am going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, be handed over to my enemies. I am going to die. But in 3 days, I'll be risen from the dead. This is the second proclamation of Christ in Matthew, saying what he is going to do. And now, his disciples are worried. You can imagine, so the first time that he did this, Peter had to go to Jesus and rebuke Jesus, saying, "This will never happen to you, Lord." And even now, maybe only a couple of weeks to months, or who knows how much later, he is sent again. Jesus says these things, and the disciples are worried. They're getting confused. They want to know something tangible, something that they can grasp onto. And so the disciples go and they ask Jesus, "Well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Maybe they're worried. Maybe they want to know who's the best among them before Jesus goes and he does these things. But Jesus takes a small child, puts them in their midst, and he says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is something that we all have either read or heard about in our lives. And if it's for the first time you're hearing this today, Jesus does say this. To be humble like a little child is to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. To have faith like a little child. You have to understand, back in the day, in these Roman times, children were not looked upon with anything good. Sorry, kids. If you're a kid back in then, you were considered dumb. You were considered illogical. You were considered a burden, almost. The whole idea of being a child in the ancient Roman Judeo world was a way to get out of it quickly so that you can produce something for your family, to become something more. Children were considered something that we must help move out of. And Jesus says, humble yourselves like a little child. Be reliant upon God. And indeed, we have taken this, many people, to heart. If you look at American Christianity, this entire thing of having childlike faith, a faith that trusts in God alone, is something that we should aspire to. And it is. Do not get me wrong, my brothers and sisters in Christ. When Jesus is saying how to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven must be like this little child, having this childlike faith that looks to God for every good and gracious thing, that is something that is 100% true. 100%. But Jesus goes on. Have you ever wondered, this is kind of like a weird, I guess, series of lessons that Jesus is teaching us today. He goes on for the first half talking about what it means to be childlike faith. How it means it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven with something detached from your body, to chuck off the things that are sinful so that you can be presentable in the kingdom of God. To have this humble childlike faith. But then it turns to something interesting. It turns into a story. It turns into a story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. Okay. We go from talking about children and mutilating our bodies to now talking about sheep. Where's Jesus going with this? How can this be talking about something great? We already know what it means to be great. Like, we just have to have this childlike faith. See, there's a problem when we just stop there. For many Christians in today's world, they strive to have this childlike faith, to be the greatest, to be the best, like no one ever was. And in the pursuit of trying to get this humble-like faith, they lose sight of what it means. They lose sight of what it means to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The pursuit and trying to be having this childlike faith to the exclusion of all others, to try so hard on your own merits, to constantly trust in God more, to constantly be a better Christian, to constantly just rely upon it, it's impossible. The desire in American Christianity to be the greatest, to be the best Christian, to be the best giver of something to the church, to be the one who puts the most work into the church, to be the one who is on the most boards or the one who does the most work or any of these things has become this point we have to strive to be the greatest, but Jesus is not talking about that. Instead, immediately after telling his disciples to humble themselves, to be like little children, to rely upon the mercy and faith of God, he tells them a story about caring for who is the greatest. It's a familiar story, something I've even seen on Facebook recently, about the one shepherd leaving the 99 and going after the one. Maybe you have seen this too. And it seems like a simple story, but it is about caring for the greatest. Who is the greatest in this story? Is it the childlike faith? It's nowhere to be seen. Jesus says there'll be more rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven for one who has returned. This little sheep that was lost and brought back into the 99. The one who is lost and is found. Many stories that Jesus will go on and talk about this. But he goes and he says to his disciples, that sheep, that one of the 99, is the greatest. But why? Did it have the most childlike faith? No. To be the greatest in the kingdom of God is not to be the very, very best Christian you can be. The greatest in the kingdom of God is the one who is about to leave it. Jesus, when he talks about the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God, is talking about those also who are doubting, those who are caught in sin, those who are in need of God, who are going after other things of this world, who are desperately trying so hard to leave the kingdom of God. Those are, in fact, the greatest in the kingdom of God. For the greatest in the kingdom of God does not mean being the best. It is one who has the greatest need. When we think of being great, we think of just being the best. Like I said, that can blind us to the things around us. It can even blind us to what Jesus follows next. After the story, he tells them something that the church has used so often. You've probably heard, or maybe have heard these, Matthew 18, being talked about church discipline. But if your brother is sinning, go to them. If they are still sinning, go with another person. And if they are still sinning more, go with the whole church. And if finally they won't listen, then you treat them as a foreigner and a tax collector. There are many people who have used this in so many times throughout history as a checklist. Oh, Bob over here has sinned. I better go to him and tell him what he has done, and I'll win back my brother. Well, he's not listened to me the first time, so I'll go with the second one. And if he doesn't listen to me, I'll go with the entire church, and if he doesn't do that, be gone. Is that care for the greatest? What about us here today? Now, I don't personally think any of you have done that. I don't think any of you are so hard and callous. But we do see people who are in need and don't do anything. When people who haven't come to church for a long time, do you reach out? See what's wrong? What about those who you know to be struggling with something? I think we're all struggling with something a lot right now. Have you reached out to the greatest in the kingdom of God? We are going to fail in this. I know I have. I haven't always done this, and it pains me. Because God has called his disciples, he has called the whole church to care for the greatest in the kingdom of God. To go after them in this love and this care and to see them for what they truly are, beloved sons and daughters. It's hard. Because the ones who are in the greatest in the kingdom of God isn't us sitting here in church today who do all the right things, who say all the right words, who maybe even have that childlike faith. Though that is something that is wonderful. The greatest is the ones who are in peril. Jesus knew this. That's why he told his disciples this. He was actually teaching them how to care for his people because he did this by example. To redeem lost Israel, who was falling away from their God, from the flock, Christ came into the world. He who is God, the Creator, the great I Am, came down. He humbled himself, was born of a virgin, and he took on the form of a servant. And he was the best of all mankind. He was the most humble. He was the greatest. He was the best, and there will be none like him after. But still, he had compassion for the greatest among him, the poor, the needy, and most importantly, for those who have lost their way, for those who are on the verge of going away from God. And yes, even to those who rejected him, to those who are in the ultimate peril of their lives, killing the very Son of God. They couldn't be farther away from God at that point. And still, in his compassion and his love and his constantly going out and preaching love to the people, to the greatest, he said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did all of this for the sake of those in the greatest need, for you and for me and for the whole world, that whoever would know the deep sorrow of their sin would turn to God, and they would see someone there who is standing at the foot of and standing on the cross and saying, for this you are forgiven, for this you are redeemed. Come back to the flock and be received with all the blessings. Whoever puts their trust in God, whoever puts their trust in Christ alone through the power of the Holy Spirit receives the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins paid for on the cross, made real by the resurrection of God from of Jesus from the dead, to be passionate and to be merciful to those in the greatest need. This is hard and difficult. But we have something else that God says at the end of this discourse today. Where Jesus says, if two or three are gathered with you in my name, there I am also. To go in throughout this world, it's hard. To go out and reach people who are in the need, who might want to not realize the depth of their sin, to deny it, and to keep going after them again and again, only to be rebuffed. So that finally, for their own sake, you have to, in love, say, please, take some time. Step away from the church because we don't want God's wrath upon you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to love you. We're going to still do our best for you. There's a promise there, too. There were two or three, the smallest number imaginable, are gathered in prayer for the greatest. Prayer for ourselves and prayer for this world who is in great need. There is Jesus also. He is in our midst. He is there with us. He is there helping those of us who are in great need. He is there helping us when we are helping others, and even when we are sinning, and even when we are so close to giving in to despair and falling, he is still there with us, reaching out as he did all those years ago to us who were in the greatest need, and he came for us. So let us go now. Care for one another. Not only in these next coming months of turmoil or the next year of unknown, but always and forever, let us go out and care for those who are in the greatest need, to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they know that they are not alone, that Christ is there with them. And let us go even to our neighbors who may not know the love of Christ and say to them that there is a Savior who has loved you so much that he came and died for you. Amen.